Yesterday, we was visiting with the members of the Spark Committee, and we talked a little bit about how they formed and some of the things they was doing. And I know one of their biggest opportunities for public outreach and kind of gaining support is the rally. I think this will probably be the third annual, and we wanted to get a little bit into that, speak as to when it is, what it is, things you could do to help with that. And I'll open up to, we see I have the same three members here today to discuss it with. Do y'all want to give us a little idea of when your rally is going to be and some things that come from it?
Well, James, I'm so excited about the rally. This will be our third annual rally that we've had at the Powell County Courthouse, and it will be May the 13th at 6 to 9 p.m. Congressman Andy Barr will be there. He will be speaking. Also, David Hill is coming to speak as well. We will have Charlotte Wethington will be there. She is the lady that lost her son due to a heroin overdose on the Casey's Law. She will be there as well.
Okay. If somebody was, how can they participate in this rally? Is there things that you still need or?
Well, they can contact us. We're estimating about 500. We're shooting to the stars for food. We do have people that is going to help us cook this year with their grill. They've provided us a grill. We're looking at maybe hamburgers and hot dogs, you know, with that, as well as the drinks. If anybody has a resource booth that they want to come to tell about their resources, bring a table, bring a lawn chair set up. There will be numerous of people that is needing that. Testimonies, if you know of someone that has been in active addiction and they've been clean a while and they feel a burning fire to want to tell their story, let us know about that. We're also this year going to have a balloon release at the Candlelight Vigil. We are going to do balloon releases, so we need those. If anybody can donate that to us on those that's lost someone addiction, someone's in recovery, or someone that is a supporter. Like I said, we're going to do a Candlelight Vigil and live music with activities for all ages.
And I guess what you're telling me, this rally is kind of, I guess, coming full circle. It's for the people that's been affected, people that want to help, people that's got an issue. So it's a good place to merge all those people together and kind of celebrate, I guess, what you all have done and
yes.
Get a little bit more public awareness to the problem. I guess in speaking, you'd mentioned the lady that was coming in regards. I guess the Casey's Law actually come mm-hmm. from legislation she pushed as a result of her son. And
yes.
Could you tell us, I've always heard Casey Law and about Casey's Law, a little bit what that is and why it's important to the work you all do?
You know, Spark kind of initially got started due to Casey's Law. I never knew what Casey's Law was, and many out there I'm sure don't, but it is a involuntary petition that you can file through the courts that you, if you have someone in active addiction and they are out of control or you feel they're out of control, you can come to the courthouse, to the circuit clerk's office, and you can ask for a petition to file a Casey's Law. They will actually, I'm sorry, it's went over now to Poodle's, to Robert King's office now. Poodle is actually filing those petitions now and helping the families with myself. What we do is that happens. I know a lot of times that I guess the word would be embarrassing or I don't know. It seems like a lot of parents come in desperate need. But all this is confidential. You know, people worry about, well, my son, my daughter, my husband, my wife is on drugs or drinking themselves to death. I don't want anybody to know. What is the good news is the Casey's Laws are very confidential. They are not even on the docket. These are held in the afternoon where there is no one in the courtroom. The only people that know about these are yourself, the petitioner, also Robert King, and the judge and myself. So these are very confidential, and these are taken care of. They're very time-sensitive. After you file a Casey's Law, you have to give probable cause of why you think that your family member or friend, you can even file it on a friend, feels like they suffer from addiction. Then the judge signs it, and it is actually taken as a summons to that person, which is by our sheriff's office, which has done an awesome job with that. They're very time sensitive. They find the people, and they serve that with a court date on that. The person appears in court. If they don't come to court, they will have an active warrant. Judge Prophet is the greatest advocate on this. He is very involved with the Casey's Law. Once they get there, I meet with them, I speak to them, and I talk to them. And we sit down one-on-one, and we decide, you know, do they really need help?
Lisa, we talked a little bit off air, and I guess two valid points you brought up in relation to Casey's Law was that some people will see the involuntary and think that means something. And I guess like you spoke to then, you may want to speak to now, is those people aren't necessarily in the shape or mindset to be able to make that decision. So I guess it kind of how you explained it to me off air, how that really isn't what it sounds like in relation to Casey's Law.
Yeah. So, James, the basic stigma that we've faced in recovery supports for people over the years has been that if someone doesn't want help, they'll never get help. The idea that the only way someone can truly get in recovery is if they go there willfully and want that kind of help for their life at that moment. And I'll be honest, I'm guilty of thinking that way at some point in my career. But as we've looked into the brain and addiction, and there are more studies coming out about how the effects of these substances linger in the brain even after someone stops using for a period of time, my concern at this point is that as a therapist who treats these folks, when they come in and they make those decisions, they really aren't making a very coherent decision about what they want in their life. Their brain is a very impulsive brain. It's a very disorganized and scattered brain. And that's due to the substances that are still residing in their brain cavities. And so it takes a period of sobriety before we notice that someone can collect those organized thought patterns and begin to think about goal-oriented thinking that we typically do every day to process their daily life, to process their goals and where they want to go with things and the things that are important to them. They lose sight of all of those things because of the chemical flooding that occurs in the brain that diminishes the logical thought patterns that we have and even some of the empathetic thought patterns that we have. So if you take away empathy and you take away logic, you have a very irrational person. And those chemicals do that to the brain while they're in addiction. And the research suggests that it takes someone anywhere from 3 to 4 months to get to a place where their brain is actually able to get back on a rational thought pattern. And so my concern as a therapist with that is, if we ask someone who's in active addiction, do you want help? Do you want to get in recovery? Their impulsive brain is going to say no. Because it's a very scary thing to enter into recovery and change everything about their daily normal life, which has become addiction for these folks. So change is not something that they really want to think about. And if you think about human behavior, we don't want to change anything. We like it when things stay the same. We like to know what's coming. So as much as this may sound crazy, what happens with an addict is their normal becomes getting high. And that's really what they face challenges in every day to get. And there's a chemical component to that that people don't quite understand. There's a physical component to it. And then there's just the human behavior aspect of that becomes their norm. And if that is their norm and that is their habit, that is what they will do. And so my argument to people who feel that involuntary petitions are pointless is that the Casey's Law can bring someone to a place where they actually get a fair shot to make a decision about their life. Because you can bring them in and get them in treatment and give them the sobriety that they actually need to stimulate the things in their brain that will help them make a decision about their life. And until they are at that place of sobriety, I would argue that they're not making the decision at all. The drugs are.
I guess in what I've heard you all talk about today and what little knowledge I had of it before, really, I guess this has really enabled people that are that desperate to get help for a loved one or someone. This is one way they can actually make an intervention, whereas just talking to the person if they are not voluntarily willing to go or whatever. But I guess in that, is there any cutoff as to how close to kin you have to be or who can file one of these? That might be something that would be helpful for the people to know.
It's friend or family, James. If you feel like that person is using an active addiction and they're a threat or a danger to themselves or others, file it. Take that chance, take that leap, take that act of faith.
So when you say file it, Janelle, what exactly, just say today we have someone out there that has a loved one or someone they care about in this situation, what would be the process of getting that individual help? What would they, how would they initiate the process, I guess?
Well, I mean, they could always call one of us. Usually when someone comes to the courthouse, they call me and I come up there. Also they could go to Robert King's office. Poodle has the petitions. She sits down with them and she actually gives them one-on-one time to file the petition.
Okay, and I guess you said these are pretty timely, so you're talking typically within a week's time you can see a turnaround on this kind of thing usually?
Well, when someone, what I've seen it in different aspects, I've seen them come in, if they come in on a Monday, usually we have them, if we can, I give props to the sheriff's office, to the, they go out and they hunt down actually the petitioner to find out that if they need, where they can find them and they can serve them, the petition. Usually if they file it on a Monday, we have them in court by Friday. Within 2 to 3 weeks, they're in treatment. If they come to court, they go through evaluations, they see a doctor, we have all that set up with them. Within 2 weeks, someone can get help, if possible, the way that our community is now working Casey's Law.
Good, and I know that's a big step forward from where we're at, not only yes. Casey's Law, but what you all have done, just giving us a resource to direct people to
yes.
and a means to try to get them help. So I guess kind of probably you've almost in talking about your work there with Casey's Law, probably actually done a better job of telling exactly what SPARC is. I mean, it sounds like in a lot of other counties or other groups, they don't have this advocate. For these folks. And so do you think that's what makes you all different, or is that why y'all are more successful than what you're seeing in counties surrounding us in getting people the treatment they need?
Yeah, James, I can honestly say that in the treatment aspect of the world of addiction, there's a lot of disconnects. When someone decides, yes, I need help, or when someone involuntarily is taken to help through a drug court program or a petition of Casey's Law, these people are sent to another location, typically out of their hometown, and they're sent to this rehab facility. They get their sobriety under their belt, and then within 3 to 6 months, they're sent back to their hometown. And there are two keys that make SPARC very different with anything that I've seen in the work that I've done with families in addiction. But basically what we're offering families is while that person is away, we are trying to educate their family on the things that they need to understand and be aware of about addiction. We're also trying to help them understand how they may have even contributed to this addiction. Enabling behaviors are one of the biggest things that we see in a family with addiction. Hiding things, being so private that you don't even open up to each other anymore. So these things happen with our families that are in this disease. And when that happens, they have to be taught how to open back up to each other and how to relate to each other and how to connect to each other again. So we're trying to do some of that work here in Powell County with their families while they're in rehabs. And then when they come back, hopefully they can make that connection again because they've gotten some treatment where they were, their family has gotten some education and treatment here, and we're able to provide that through SPARC. The other big piece is whenever those petitions come through the court on Casey's Law, Janelle gets a call and she goes there and she meets with this individual and their family and she determines what this person feels is going to help them in their life and what is motivating them at all to treatment. And once she figures those things out, she has these relationships with lots of rehab facilities in the state of Kentucky through her passion and through her work that she's done so far. So the key to this SPARC coming alive has really been the relationship building factor that we're offering to the people who are helping these people get in sobriety, but also bringing them back home to a better relationship with their family. And hopefully this community is opening up with some awareness to support these people and encourage these people and give them second chances in our community. So I think there's a lot of stigma that's going away that we used to see in our community. And I only hope that grows because that's going to bring healing to this. But the other big piece is, again, just the relationship factor of making connections with people, making the right connections. If you can connect somebody to a program that is going to motivate them in the way they need to be motivated, you have a better shot at getting them into sobriety and recovery. And so she's making that relationship with that individual and that family member and saying, we want to find you the right fit. So she's helping them with that through the work that she does. And then the other piece that you know, is key again, is she's got these relationships built with these rehab facilities. So when she contacts them, she can say, these are the things going on with this person and they need the help. So we have a better opportunity to get them in whenever we need them to. So this is resulting in shorter time frames to get people the treatment they need. And in addiction, if someone's right in front of you, you really need to get them the help they need now, not tomorrow. So I think the advocacy and the relationship building factors are huge in supporting this movement.
Thanks again so much to all of you, Lisa, Janelle, Stephen, for joining us and sharing this important information. And anyone out there who has any further questions about Casey's Law or any upcoming events related to SPARC is welcome to contact the County Judge Executive's Office, the Powell County Dispatch Center, or the County Attorney's Office. Thanks to all of you for tuning in, joining us this week. And it's really been informative. Really proud of these shows. And hopefully we can reach people who are in need of these kinds of services.